All right, welcome back to Dixie Broadcasting. That was Mrs. Linda Carlton singing the Cavalryman's Last Ride. And if you're just now joining us, we are here on another Pelican Pages segment at Dixie Broadcasting. And we're joined in the studio via telephone tonight with author Terry Scriber, whose book has just recently been published by Pelican, entitled The 27th Louisiana Volunteer Infantry. And Terry and I have already been talking in this segment about how he got interested in the history of the 27th Louisiana and some of the events in the unit's history leading up to the beginning of the war itself. And Terry, at this point, if you would take us up from the point that the war is already going on, and as I understand it, the 27th Louisiana becomes the first Confederate regiment to arrive at a very important place, and I'll let you pick up from there.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. Well, the regiment departed Camp Moore on May 1st of 1862 en route to Vicksburg, and they left Camp Moore on the New Orleans-Jackson and Great Northern Railroad, and it was a harrowing journey for them. The locomotive that was pulling the cars that they were riding on was somewhat dilapidated, and the men were so overloaded with equipment that they had brought from home that when the train was going up an incline, some of them would have to jump off and run beside the train until it got to the top of the hill and then jump back on. But anyway, they arrived in Jackson on the next following day on May 2nd, and one of the members of the regiment reported that on that ride, at all the little towns and stations along the way, that people were beside the railroad that knew the train was coming, taking them to Vicksburg, and women were waving handkerchiefs and throwing flowers, and men were out there with homemade Confederate flags, waving them and cheering.
Wow.
And it was really a morale booster for them.
I can imagine.
And they arrived in Vicksburg on May 4th, and they were accompanied by then Brigadier General Martin Luther Smith, who commanded a division at Vicksburg later as a major general. But they were the first regiment to arrive there in the defense of Vicksburg, and it was no leisure time for them. As soon as they arrived and established their camp, they were immediately put to work by General Smith constructing fortifications.
And certainly the folks in and around Vicksburg had to have understood already that Vicksburg was going to be a focal point of upcoming action.
Absolutely. Jefferson Davis referred to Vicksburg as the Gibraltar of the West, and Abraham Lincoln referred to it as the key to winning the war. So both the southern and northern populace were well aware that Vicksburg was going to be a major focal point of the war.
Now, once they arrived there, they started with the works themselves around the city of Vicksburg. Were they the only regiment there for a period of time, or were the other units quickly brought up? How was it? Any idea?
They were the only regiment there for several weeks, and then, of course, reinforcements began pouring in immediately. Farragut had actually passed the forts below New Orleans, Forts Jackson and St. Philip, and they knew that that his mission was to conquer all the river cities and open up the Mississippi River to Union control. As New Orleans fell, Jefferson Davis immediately just began pouring troops into Vicksburg. He knew that was the focal point. Lincoln had even made the remark in the northern press that they could capture all the northern ports of the Confederacy and it still wouldn't be as valuable to the Union as Vicksburg. It was a strategic location on a bend in the river, and both sides were were going to spare no amount of time or energy in taking Vicksburg.
Now, approximately what amount of time passed between the time that the 27th arrived there at Vicksburg and when Union forces actually began the siege of the city?
It was, well, they initially attempted it in 62. As Farragut captured New Orleans, Baton Rouge fell like a domino, Natchez fell like a domino, and Farragut was flush with success. Of course, Ben Butler had occupied New Orleans and had given Farragut 2,500 of his infantry troops. And Farragut was under the impression that because New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Natchez had fallen so easily that, you know, it was going to be a cakewalk. And when he got to Vicksburg, he sent a surrender demand in to the Confederate authorities, and they sent it back and told him that Mississippians don't know and refuse to learn how to surrender, and if he thought he could teach them, come and try.
That sounds like something Southerners would send out. That's great. Now, I know that the 27th Louisiana, from things in your book, distinguished themselves with some other firsts as well. You want to share some of those?
Sure. They were the first regiment to capture Union colors and prisoners at Vicksburg. After Farragut attempted to, he bombarded the city unmercifully, and still Vicksburg would not surrender. And at that time, he knew with 1,500 to 25 infantry, he was not going to take Vicksburg. So he departed and went back to New Orleans. And then in 1863, they attempted again with a large, large force under Grant and Sherman. But on May 19th, 1863, Grant ordered Sherman to launch an attack on the 27th Louisiana Lunette to open the road to Vicksburg. And that was Brigadier General Hugh Ewing's brigade of Blair's division, and that was the 30th, 37th, and 47th Ohio Infantry and the 4th West Virginia Infantry. And it was basically a slaughter, was how Sherman described it.
Mm.
In a letter to his wife, he had written that his men were blown away like wheat chaff thrown to the wind. And in that, they captured the regimental flag of the 4th West Virginia Infantry. And they also, they captured, I think it was 15 prisoners, 52 stands of arms. It was quite a battle for untried troops.
Well, it certainly sounds like the 27th Louisiana, the story of the unit itself is an interesting read, but I know that your book has been described by some of the reviewers as two books in one. Terry, exactly what do they mean by that?
Well, Ray, the first part of the book is actually divided into two sections in one book. The first part of the book is the history of the regiment, detailing, as I said, from the military climate, political climate in Louisiana, all the way through to the end of the siege of Vicksburg, and what happened to the regiment after that in the war's later years, 64 and 65. The second section of the book is a detailed biographical register of every individual soldier that was in the regiment, broken down by companies. It starts out commanding generals, and it lists their service record, their names, AKAs. It goes commanding generals, field and staff, color bearers, sergeant majors. Then it gets into the companies, and it's broken down by captain, lieutenant, sergeant, corporal, and privates. But it lists their service record, any known aliases, if they were known by another name or their name was put down as something other than what it really was. It lists their burial locations, any Confederate pensions they might have, and the pension information, driving directions to their grave sites, medical history, number of children, gender of children, marriages, wife's name, when married. Any bit of information I could find on the over 1,000 soldiers that comprised that regiment and went into the wow. second section of the book.
And now, Terry, I know from looking through that section of the book that it appears that you have information for virtually every single one of those men that were in the unit. Is that pretty accurate?
That is true. Every soldier that served in that unit, there is an entry for them with any data that could be found. At a minimum, it's got all their ranks. If they started as a private and made it up to a sergeant, or it lists that, and it's every soldier, though. No one was left out. It was quite a bit of work on my wife and myself behalf.
I can imagine. I know that's one thing that makes your book different than other regimental histories that I've seen and read before myself, is that it's very unusual to have a collection of records on every single soldier in the history of a regiment, because usually you'll have scores and scores of names for which there is no information given in most regimental histories. So I think that certainly sets the book apart all by itself, too.
Well, I tried to add a personal touch to the book. I wanted the reader to feel like when they read the book that they didn't just know the history of the regiment, but I wanted them to feel like they also knew the individual soldiers.
Well, I think you've done a very good job in capturing that spirit for the reader from what I've already read in the book, and I've only got dug into it good into a couple of chapters so far. Now, I know that you and your wife discovered some interesting information about both your families while you were researching for the book, too. You want to tell us some of that?
Absolutely, Ray. My wife is a native of Rhode Island, and while we were researching the book, we found out that her ancestor was in the 7th Rhode Island Infantry, and they were at Vicksburg opposing my great-great-grandfather, who was in the 27th.
Well, that's certainly interesting, and I'm sure that has made for some very interesting discussions around the dinner table.
Oh, you can believe that.
Well, I'm glad to see that at some point she must have been converted, because she's down here living amongst God's people now.
Absolutely.
That's great. Now, folks, you've been listening to us. We've been talking for a few minutes now about a new book that's been published recently by Pelican. It's the 27th Louisiana Volunteer Infantry by Terry Scriber. It is a regimental history, but it's much more than that. Terry's book is certainly one of the most exhaustive regimental histories that I've ever seen myself, from the fact that it gives so much detailed information about every single serviceman in that entire regiment. But it also goes into the history of the regiment and the story of the siege of Vicksburg. So if you're interested in the story of Vicksburg and the trials and tribulations that went on during that siege, you'll find the book interesting. And even if you're more interested in the political aspects that led up to the war, why the political climate discussion at the beginning of the book about things transpiring in Louisiana in the secession convention there, you'll find this book of much help to you, too, in your own personal research. Terry, if you would, tell our folks where is the place you want them to go to buy this book. If it's online, you can let us know that. If it's some other place, you can tell us that, too.
Sure. It's available on the Pelican website, and I know you had given that out earlier, and it can also be ordered over the telephone from Pelican at 1-800-843-1724. And it's also available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, as well as their actual bricks-and-mortar stores. So it's really not a problem to find the book anywhere.
And, you know, one of the good things that our folks can do to promote other people reading Southern books is they can go to those kind of bookstores and they can actually request this book to be put on the shelves there in those chain stores, and then other folks who may not know about this book, well, they might just happen to see it on the shelf and then some other folks will learn some history along the way, too. Folks, you've been listening to a Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting, and if you did not catch the beginning of this particular program, let me just point out to you that we now at Dixie Broadcasting have a special page on the website at the station's website at DixieBroadcasting.com, totally dedicated to Pelican Publishing Company and the partnership that we have with them now. If you'll go to DixieBroadcasting.com, you'll see a link down on the right-hand side for Pelican Pages. And if you'll take that link, you'll find that there is a page that's been set up with interviews of a number of authors of Pelican Publishing books. Most of those titles have to do with Southern history and Southern heritage, but all of them have to do with Southern culture in some form or fashion. But you can actually click on the links there and listen to those interviews if you happen to miss them. Or you can even download them and listen to them on your computer later, or download them to an iPod and carry it around with you and listen to it in a mobile fashion if you'd like to do that. This interview itself will also be posted on the website very shortly, assuming that Terry gives us permission to do so after we get off the broadcast tonight. And I hope that you'll take advantage of that special page we've put up for Pelican Publishing there on the Dixie Broadcasting website, because some very interesting information. You'll also be able to find a direct link to Terry's book once we get it up on the website there. It'll be very easy for you to be able to find and go straight to Pelican's online bookstore, and you can actually purchase it right there. Now, Terry, before we end tonight, if you would, I already know the answer to this, so I've got a little bit of an inside track on the listeners. Tell us what you currently have underway, and when we can maybe expect to see it.
Okay, great. Well, we've got another book that's coming out. This one is co-authored with my wife, and it's going to be released in the spring of 2007, and it's another regimental history. Same format as the 27th Louisiana book with the biographical register, and it's on another Louisiana unit during the Civil War, the 4th Louisiana Battalion. And that one, as I said, will be out in spring of 2007, and in the fall of 2007, we also have another book coming out on Ship Island, Mississippi, which I'm sure some of your listeners know was used as a Union prisoner of war camp for Confederate soldiers during the war. And it'll also have a roster of each Confederate soldier that was held on that island. And the island really has an interesting history. So hopefully your listeners will take the time to check these books out, and maybe you can have me back on when they're released.
Well, we'd certainly love to do that, Terry, and we appreciate you being on the program with us tonight, and if you can put up with us, then we'll just definitely have you back on when you get each of those two books ready to release, and we'll be looking forward to more good things in the future even after that. Terry, I do want to thank you for being on Dixie Broadcasting with us tonight for this segment of Pelican Pages. And you please just know that you have friends here at Dixie Broadcasting, and we'll do anything we can to promote anything you and your dear wife do in the future.
Well, thank you, Ray, and I really appreciate you having me on. I enjoyed it, and I hope your listeners enjoyed it also.
Well, I'm sure that they have, and I'm sure we'll get feedback from them in the days to come. And folks, you've been listening now to a Pelican Pages segment at Dixie Broadcasting. We're going to end this segment with a song by Ross Moore, one of our nominees for the Southern Heritage Music Awards this year, and his song Southern Sun, one of the most requested songs here at Dixie Broadcasting this past year. I hope you'll enjoy it on the way out, and hope you have a great evening. Thank you, and God bless you.